This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, good morning. Like we said, we're going to say Happy Easter quite a few times. There's an old school kind of thing, and you may have grown up this way, I've heard this before, where someone says, "He is risen," and then they answer back with, "He is risen indeed." Can we do that this morning? You guys ready? We're going to do some old school stuff. So I'm going to say, "He is risen." You answer back with, "He is risen indeed." Are you ready? He is risen. There you go. And that's what we're here to talk about today. It's why we're here. This has been a really fascinating and great month that we've had. We started praying and fasting about 40-some-odd days ago, just calling God to bring resurgence in our life as a church, as individuals. And it's just been an exciting time as a church. We were able to gather food together and feed the communities. That was a great day. Did this with four different churches. What a wonderful time that was. We've heard stories of people that are just finding God and listening and hearing new things from God, new steps. And so that's been fun. Friday night, what a powerful service we had for Good Friday. Just walking through the events of that 24 hours from what we call Thursday night to Friday night. For the Jews, it was all Friday. And Jesus going to the cross and all he went through for us. Then yesterday, it was exciting for me, a new church, which is down the street. They haven't gotten their baptistry yet, so they had a baptism here yesterday. I was able to witness that. They had a young man who's in the army, and he was home on leave, and he was able to just say, "I want to give my life, and I want to tell the world about Jesus at Easter." So we gathered together in here. If you're listening, I apologize, but he forgot his shorts. And we were going, "What are we going to do?" They go, "Do you have any shorts?" I'm going, "Well, I don't think I'm the same size," and whatever. We're going, "But we have a clothes closet here at the church." And so we went over there, and guess what? It was like the first rack we looked at, size 34. Perfect for him. And it was just so cool. He picked out the pair he wanted to wear, and he was baptized, gave his life to the Lord, and that was so cool. And if you heard or get a chance at first service, Cindy Bowman, who is a young child, was baptized, but it wasn't really her choice. It was her parents' choice. She said, "I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to tell the world. I want to be baptized." So we set that up and baptized her during the first service. What an exciting time just to see that happen. And now we're here at Easter. And it's good to be together as a family, just worshiping Jesus. We're wrapping up our series that we're calling Why Easter. And I love the question, why? Like, why do we do this? Why do we stop? Why do we celebrate? Why is the world celebrating Jesus today? Why is this really big question? It's always the question behind the question, right? If you want to really learn about someone, get to know them, get to see who they are, the question why really takes you a little bit deeper. Like, if I ask you, "What's your favorite movie?" and you told me, I would just know that. But if I ask you why, you would tell me because it had Brad Pitt in it, or had action in it, or whatever it was. You go, "That's my favorite movie." If I ask you, "What do you do with your life? What do you do for a living?" And you told me, I am an engineer, I work with my hands, I'm a teacher, I'm a nurse. You could tell me all those different things. But then if I ask you why, I would learn more about you. Like if you answered, "Well, I'm retired," your smile would tell us everything, right? Why do you enjoy that? Because I can do whatever I want. If I ask you why you're a nurse, I just enjoy helping people. Maybe you'll say, "Hey, I just took a job because it was open. I have to pay my bills." Maybe that's why you do, but that tells us something about who you are. Maybe you feel called to what you did, and you would answer, "God opened the door, and I took this job, and now I see him at work." That's a different answer, right? And I learn a lot more about you. If I ask you, "Where do you live?" and you told me, that's a one-word answer. "I live in Pofftown. I live in Rural Hall. I live in Kang," right? Wherever it is that you live in this area, you would tell me, and I would say, "Why do you live there?" "Well, the truck broke down there. That's as far as I got on my way south, and we couldn't make it any further." Or you would tell me, "I have family here." Or you would say, "The job brought me here. I went to school here, and I wanted to stay. I mean, I'm 2 hours away from the mountains. I'm 4 hours away from the beach." You know, what is your answer? I would learn about you. And then one of my favorite things to do, if I'm doing a wedding, I'll get into the, you know, "What do you want done for the wedding?" and all that stuff. And I'll ask them this question, but I have to be really careful with how I ask. I'll say, "Why are you marrying them?" Now, you have to ask it right, right? Because it could be, "Why are you marrying them?" and that's kind of rude. Or I could say, why are you marrying her? What is it about them that made you choose them?" And I say, "Tell me 9 reasons or 10. And they'll tell me there's 9 or 10. And then when I do the wedding, I speak that back for the people who hear it. So they know it's not just a wedding. This is why I chose this person. This is what I love about that person. So we hear the why behind the what. And I think why is a huge question. Today the question is, why Easter? Why Easter? And maybe you've thought about that. Why Easter? Why are we here? What are we doing? What is this about? And let's go a little deeper. And if I could sit down and ask you a question, even a little bit deeper than that, I'd ask you this question. What do you believe? What do you believe about Easter? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about the origin of the universe? What do you believe about yourself? And then here's the follow-up question I would ask you is, why do you believe it? Why do you believe that about God? Did someone tell you that? And you go, that resonates with me? Did you investigate it and go, okay, that makes sense to me? Did you pray? And God answered your prayer. And you go, I believe because of that. I mean, I would really want to know why. Why do you believe what you believe? And then for a lot of people, you may be in the situation where you're kind of on the fence. Or maybe you used to believe, and you're not sure now. And so I might ask you this question. Why don't you believe? Like, what is going on? What happened? Did something happen to you? Did you pray and God didn't respond the way you hoped to? Did you go through a tragedy? Did someone do something to you? Did you have a question that you couldn't find an answer to? I've talked to two different people, and their answer about this has been, I just don't get Noah, right? I don't know why it is about Noah, but it's just like, I don't get Noah, so I'm kind of stuck there. And I go, okay, let's go around Noah for a little bit, because there's something behind that story. Let's deal with that over there. Then we'll get back to Noah, because here's what I believe. Noah is easy if you understand Easter. And I think everything is understandable once you understand Easter. For those who have your Bibles, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. We're going to put it on the screen. If you didn't bring one, that's okay. We're going to work through a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians. It's a book, just so you know, if you're not familiar, it's a letter that a guy named Paul wrote. Paul was an unbeliever. He was a very strong unbeliever, and then he became a believer. And he wrote this letter to a church in Corinth. It's a place in Greece, about 20 years after Jesus died. And the people in Corinth had a hard time dealing with one question. What happens when we die? What happens when we die? And there's a group of them that go, I think it's just done. I think we're just done. I think the lights go out. You just close your eyes and you're done. I think that's kind of what they were. They didn't believe in a resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe anything happened afterwards. And so he's concerned about this. This is a church he knew and loved, a group of people. He said, let me talk about that. Let me answer. And let's tie this to Easter, and let's figure out why we believe what we believe. So that's what he's going to talk about. We're going to work through that a little bit verse by verse. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 through verse 20, if you're following along. We're going to put it on the screen now and just kind of work through it a little bit verse by verse. And maybe there's some things that resonate with you. Maybe there's some things that you've had questions about or you've dealt with. So this is his argument. He says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, which is what Easter is all about, right? Easter is all about proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead. How can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? How can some of you say there isn't anything beyond this? There is no life after this. What are we going to do? And then he says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If there's nothing after this, then Jesus didn't rise. Well, that's an interesting statement, right? How do we deal with that? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, where are we? What does that mean for us? And then he writes, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. Kind of park there for a second. Two things I want to point out. He said, if Jesus didn't rise on Easter, then your preaching is in vain. It's useless. Now, some of you would say my preaching is always useless. You know, it's not quite up to par or whatever you might say. You know, you need to rethink this or whatever. But he's saying about this, he's going, look, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then whatever I say about Jesus doesn't really matter. It's in vain, it's empty, because Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead. And if he didn't, then he lied. And if he lied, he's not a good person. And if he didn't rise from the dead, he's not who he said he was, because he said he was the Son of Man, which was this title from the Old Testament that said there's one going to come, he's going to live forever, he's going to be the reigning king, and he's going to be the one that takes over the end and make everything right. And he said that about himself, but if he didn't rise, then whatever we preach is useless. It's just in vain. It's just empty. And not only that, your faith is empty. It's in vain. What you believe, if he didn't rise from the dead, is empty. because there's no weight behind it. He was just an individual. He was just one more person who walked this earth, nothing special, if he didn't rise from the dead. See, for those who follow Jesus, those who believe, this is a center, right? This is everything, what happened on Easter when he rose from the dead. That's where everything is centered, and that's the foundation. So if it's not true, our faith is in vain. It doesn't work. And then he writes about himself. He says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God. That's a tough thing, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. He said, look, we've been telling you about Jesus. We've been telling you that God raised him from the dead. And if he didn't, then we've been telling you the wrong thing about God the whole time. And we've been lying to you. Maybe we're just misinformed. We're teaching you a whole different thing. God's not happy with us because we've been telling you something totally wrong. Maybe it's a different religion. Maybe it's a different belief system if he didn't rise from the dead. Does that make sense? He said, if this isn't true, then we're misrepresenting God. And then he took it another step forward. He keeps going, why? And he gets to the next one. He said, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. So if there is no resurrection, then Christ hasn't raised. And then he writes, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Now, futile is different than in vain. In vain means empty. Futile means powerless. It has no power. So what you believe when you pray is not going to work. It's not going to happen. It's just, there's no power there. Jesus was just an individual. And then he says, and you are still in your sins. And that's huge for those of us who believe in Jesus. We know our sins are forgiven. We don't have to carry guilt. We don't have to carry the shame. We don't have to go into our past. It's all forgiven. But if he didn't rise, then what's the point? Because he died on a cross, right? And we understand that's how our sins are forgiven. But if he didn't rise from the dead, he was just another individual, and there's no power behind his words at all. Because human beings can't forgive your sins. We can't do that. We can forgive if you sin against me, but only one who has the power to rise from the dead can forgive sins. He said, if it didn't happen, you're still there. You're still going to have to face God on your own now, and there's no way to deal with your sins. You're just going to have to live with that, and when you stand before God, you're on your own. I mean, it gets pretty bleak, right, if this is not true. And then he writes, he goes a little bit further. He keeps going the why, a little bit deeper. Then those who have also fallen asleep, and that's his euphemism, those who are dead already, in Christ, they perished. And meaning, when they died, they died. The light went out, they closed their eyes, and that's all. So the ones that we hope to see in heaven, there is none of that if Christ didn't rise. I mean, that's kind of the logic behind it. Let's keep going further. He says, if they're already dead, they perished, and there's no hope. And then he goes even one step further. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If this is it, this is it. And you should pity Christians because they believe in something that's not true. There's nothing out beyond this. And if that's true, then they've given up a lot here on this earth. They've kind of said, I'm not doing certain things. I'm going to live a certain way. If that's true, then we need to feel sorry for them. And he takes it all the way down. And by then you're going, oh my gosh. If it's true he didn't rise from the dead, then we're in a bad place. But he didn't stop there. Next verse, he turns the corner. And I love this, how he starts it. But in fact, he says, it's not just my opinion. It's not just what I think. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, meaning the first one to kind of set the example, set the way. That is Jesus. And he says, I believe that so much. It's a fact. And how do you know something's a fact? Well, there's proof of it, right? There's a reason you believe in facts. You witness it. You saw it. You talk to people. You can point to it. It is real. And he's saying, that is what happened. All that other stuff is just, we're just thinking about if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, but he did. He did rise. And then in the chapter, he wants to explain why he believes that's a fact, why he says it's a fact. If you go back, or you're still in the chapter, go back to verse 3. He's going to lay out his reasons. He's going to say, this is how you know. This is how you know. So go back to verse 3. Earlier in the chapter, it says this. For I delivered to you, to this church, as of first importance, here's the most important thing, what I also received. He said, I talked to people. I went to the sources. This is what they told me. This is what they saw. This is what they experienced. Number one thing that they saw, what they experienced, what they know is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. They were there. They saw him on the cross. The scriptures point to that. They watched him die. He was dead. And this wasn't like just faking it or anything. He died on the cross. The Romans knew how to kill people. He was dead. Next verse, not only did he die, but he was buried. We saw him buried. They rolled the stone in front of the tomb. But, and here's the most important part, he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That's what we call Easter. That's why we celebrate Easter. We saw it. We experienced it, they told him. And he says, that's why. And then he starts telling us the different people who saw that. He says, here's my proof. Next verse. This is where it gets exciting, I think. He says, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Now, Cephas is another name for Peter. You guys have all heard about Peter, probably Simon Peter. This is Simon Peter's story, if you think about it. Simon Peter went to believing, to unbelieving, to believing. He went from believing to unbelieving to believing. And maybe you've lived that kind of life yourself, where you used to believe, and now you don't, or you're questioning, or you're not sure, but then Peter took another step to believing. Let me show you how this works in his life. Peter believed Jesus. He gave up everything to follow him. He actually walked on water to Jesus. When Jesus said, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. It's what we have people say it during baptism. This is what I believe. Jesus said, you got it right. And then at the cross, right before the cross, during the trials, Peter's sitting there, and they go, you were with him. Nope, don't even know him. He went from believing to unbelief. The morning of Easter, we're going to talk about this a little bit, Peter did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. He didn't believe he rose from the dead. But later, when he saw Jesus, his life completely changed. Peter went from an unbeliever to a believer because he saw the risen Savior. And he ran away from trouble before, and then he walked into trouble afterwards. He was bold for Jesus. Something changed the man. He said, I used to kind of sit here where I wasn't sure, and now I'm sure. And he wanted everyone to know. What changed him? Except for the resurrected Lord. He said also the 12 were there. Now when he says the 12, he means the followers of Jesus. The 11 without Judas and everyone else that was close to him. And did you know they went from believing to unbelieving to believing themselves? They give up everything to follow Jesus. And then during the trial and during the time where Jesus was on the cross, they walked away. And then they came back because they saw the risen Jesus. How do you know they went to unbelief? What did they believe on Sunday morning? What did they believe on Sunday morning? They believed he was dead. How do we know? What did the ladies do? Those who know the story, the women that went to the tomb, what did they go do? They went to go finish Jesus' burial. He wasn't finished. They didn't use all the spices. They hadn't embalmed him the way he was supposed to be. They believed with all their heart he was dead. And nobody was there waiting for him to come out of the tomb. Several years ago, my family and I took a trip to California, and we drove across the country, which I don't advise for everybody to do that. Our family did great, but it's a lot of times in the car. And we went to California, went to Southern California, and we stayed about 2 hours out in the desert, a place called Indio, and we were going to drive into L.A., visit friends and stuff. That's because we had family out there. And we were going to Disneyland, and I wanted to go to Disneyland. I'll just go ahead and tell you. I wanted to go to Disneyland for a day. I wanted to go back and see it in California Adventure. So we were going to go to two parks in one day, okay? And we were 2 hours out. So I said, we're leaving at 4:30. You should have seen the look on my family's face when I told them 4:30. So we got up. We left at 4:30. And at 5 o'clock in L.A., we hit traffic, okay? At 5 o'clock in the morning, going the opposite way. So we're sitting in traffic. I'm looking at the clock. Are we going to get there in time for it to open? Get there in time to open? I don't know. I hope so. You know, traffic cleared. We got there. We parked. We walked down. There was about 1,000 people waiting to get in the park at the same time. And we waited for it to open. And guess what happened? It opened. It opened. It's silly, right? But 1,000 people, what do we all believe? That at 8 o'clock, they're going to open the doors. And we were going to go in. And it happened exactly like that. There was not a single one of Jesus' followers that was sitting out in front of the tomb going, open. Not a one. They all believed he was dead. And that was it. And they were finished. Until they saw Jesus. The ladies who went to go to prepare his body, they got to see Jesus first. They weren't sure at first. They thought maybe he was a gardener. And then when he spoke Mary's name, they go, it's Jesus. Changed their life. The disciples who were so deep in their unbelief were hiding up in a room. They had locked the doors because they were afraid. Jesus showed up and he said one word to them. Peace. Shalom. It's okay. It's all right. I'm here. And they began to believe because they were experiencing him. It changed their life. Completely changed their life. But they did not believe. But then they believed. Paul goes on and says, let me give you a little bit more. Let's go a little bit further with this. Not only did he appear to Cephas and the 12, but then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. That's just men. There was probably other women. So over 1,000 people, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Again, he's saying it's been 20 years. Some of them are still alive. You can go talk to them. Some of them have died, but the rest of them are there. Go talk to them. And here's the thing about Christianity. It should have died on Sunday morning. It should have died. Because there's only a few followers of Jesus at the time. They had all given up. They were afraid because Jesus had been killed. That's going to happen to us. They should have just scattered and given up. If he didn't rise from the dead, it would have been done. You would have never heard about Jesus' name. Never. None of us would have. But then he rose. And they saw him. And it changed them forever. And it grew exponentially. Why did it grow exponentially if he didn't rise? It grew because he was alive. And they experienced him. He says, let's go a little bit deeper. Let's go a little bit deeper. Not only that, but let's go to the next verse, the next verse. Then he appeared to James and then to the apostles. Now, who's James? If you kind of study the Bible, you know who this James is. There's two of them. This is the brother of Jesus. You know Jesus had brothers? Some people go, no, he had brothers. You know he had sisters? Jesus had brothers and sisters. He was the oldest. They were younger. Mary had other children. And here's the thing. Jesus grew up in Nazareth, right? The people of Nazareth and his own family had a little bit of trouble with Jesus because he wasn't what they thought he should be. You ever had a picture of God? You go, God, I think you should be like this. You know what I mean? Like, God, you should be like this. And when you don't act the way I think you should act, I kind of wonder if you're really God. This is the way the town of Nazareth was. It tells us in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, this is how they were dealing with it. It says this, it said the people of Nazareth, they scoffed. And they said, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of, here's his brothers, James and Joseph and Judas and Simon and his sisters live right here among us. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in Jesus. Why? Here's what I think. I think they saw Jesus every single day and they go, I get it. He does some amazing stuff, but he's not what I expected. He's not doing what I want him to do. And they didn't believe. And not only didn't the town believe, but it says in John 7, verse 5, that his brothers didn't believe in him. Here's the question. If your sibling, if you have a brother or a sister, or let's say you have a brother, if they came home one day and said, I'm the Messiah. Yeah, some of you are going like, really? Of course you're not. You know, but if your brother came home and said, I'm the Messiah, you would like go, no way, no way. James was like that. Judas was like that, his brother Judas, not the traitor Judas, but his brother. We don't believe. We don't believe. Nope. You did some amazing things. You say some interesting stuff. They wanted him to go to this feast and show off, do a miracle, because they wanted to be part of the entourage, right? I want to be part of the entourage. I want people to point out, hey, there's the brother of Jesus. Let's say him go first in the line at the restaurant, you know, or whatever. They wanted him to do something mighty, and when Jesus wouldn't do it their way, they didn't believe. And then they saw the resurrected Jesus, and they believed. James wrote the book of James. He became the leader of the church. Judas, we know him as Jude. He wrote a very short book of the Bible. He believed. His family believed because something happened. They saw Jesus, and it changed their world. Paul finishes this thing up the way I think you need to finish this up. In verse 8, he says, not only those guys, but let's get personal. Last of all, as to one untimely born, meaning I was born a little bit later than everybody else, he appeared also to me. I wasn't there, he said, at the time where everybody else saw him. I didn't get to experience that, but I did experience Jesus. Now, Paul's experience with Jesus was on the Damascus Road. He was persecuting Christians. He was on his way, and Jesus appeared to him. But the guys next to him, they saw something. They were there, but they didn't experience Jesus the same way that Paul did. And it's never happened again. God chose to do it that way for Paul. But for everybody else, it's a little bit different, because here's the deal. God wants to know you personally in his own way, in his own time. And so for Paul, it was on the Damascus Road, changed his life. He went from unbelief to belief. He went from trying to destroy Christianity to trying to tell everyone about what he had seen. If I could sit down and ask you, why do you believe? You would tell me about something that God did in your life, right? If you believe today, let's just kind of talk to those who believe. If you believe today, it's because you've heard some of this, but then Jesus did something for you, and you felt his peace in your life. You felt the presence of God. You felt relief. You felt connection. You read something in the scripture and go, I was just thinking about that. You had a time where you needed God to step in your life, and he stepped in, and you go, that's why I believe. That's why I believe. For those who maybe are on the fence and you're still not sure, you're still waiting for that, right? You're still going, I need that in my life. I need that. And it doesn't have to be big, because God's going to do it in his own way, in his own time. But isn't that right? I mean, you can listen, but you need God to step in. And this is what we all count on, because God does that for us. Jesus said this. He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock. Knock and the door will be opened. Meaning, if you want to know, if you want to know, ask. If you want to know, seek. If you want me to come to your life, if you want a difference, then you knock, and I'm going to do it. And that's how God is, because you might have reasons to not believe, but until you encounter the risen Lord, when you do that, there's like no reason you can be talked out of it. Ask me, if you ask me why I believe, I'll tell you what I believe. Here's why I believe it's a fact. One, I go back to the original people. They wrote it down. They included all their failures. Why would you include your failures? They said, we went through periods of time, we turned our back on Jesus. Why would you write that down? Why would you make yourself look so bad? We made really dumb mistakes. They wrote it down. We failed. We walked away. And then we saw the risen Lord, and it changed our lives. And I believe because they believed, but I also believe because of the 2 billion people who believed after that. Because every one of them had their own way of experiencing God after that, right? They read, and I've read the Gospels. If you've read the Gospels, okay, there's a lot of facts, there's a lot of good stuff. And as you read, if God speaks, you hear it. And you go, I get it. 2 billion people since that time have believed. But then in my own personal life, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe those things, but I also have had my time where I've never heard God with my ears. But I believe God because when I pray and I see him at work, when I experience his peace, when I see him answer my prayers, when I realize my sins are forgiven, when I have those moments where I sense the presence of God, there's no one that can talk me out of it. You can't talk me out of it. Because I go, let's look at the scriptures. I'm good there. Let's look at the testimony since there. I'm good there. But I also have my own experience with God. He's alive. You can't talk me out of it. And if you're a believer, you're in that same spot, right? Today is a celebration, because days that you go, he's alive. That's why we celebrate Easter. So wherever you are, here's what I will tell you. If you know Jesus, this is a day of celebration. Going, yeah, he rose from the dead, changed my life. If you're on the edge or you're not sure, you have questions, it's good for you too. You go, okay, let me investigate. Let me check this thing out. And let me just have time with God. God's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of your doubts. He's not afraid of any of that. Just bring them to him and go, this is where I am. Be honest with God. Job said some really tough things to God in the midst of a struggle. He was not afraid to tell God, and God didn't smite him or strike him down for it. He said, let's deal with this. Jesus said, ask. Seek and knock if you want to know. Today is Easter. We started off, he is risen. He is alive. And that's why we celebrate this time. Let's pray. Father God, in this moment, at this time, we join billions of people around the world who are convinced that Jesus rose from the dead.
by looking at the scriptures, by looking at the documents, looking at history, seeing the accounts, and not only that, because of something you've done in their life. Maybe it's a time when they were baptized and they just felt your presence. A prayer that was answered. A moment of clarity where it just all made sense. I thank you for that. And for those that are just walking along, just trying to figure this thing out, Father God, we know how much you love and how much you care, how much you want them to know. I just pray you'll speak to them in the way only you can. I thank you for the one that was baptized today, the one that was baptized yesterday, because they heard and they responded. They said, I want to follow this Jesus. Just pray for us to move into belief, greater faith, every single day. Thank you for this day of Easter. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here at Bridges, before COVID, what seems like forever ago, right? Did COVID mess up your timing? Messed up my timing in the world? Before COVID, we used to do communion differently. We're going to go back to that today. It's the first time since. It's kind of a huge celebration for us, too. We have the cups that we used to have, but we also have real bread and then the juice, okay? It's underneath here. And what we're going to do is I'm going to pray in just a few minutes. And you just come up. There's a station there, a station there, a station over there. And you just pick up the elements and take them back to your seat. And when you're ready, you drink and you eat. And in preparation for that, I just wanted to read you something that Peter wrote. Peter, the one who went from unbelief to belief. This is the Message version, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. After his life had been changed by the resurrection, Lord, he said this, what, we have one back. What a God we have. What a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have him, the Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and life whole. That's what this is all about. Jesus rose from the dead so we can have life. Life here and life eternal. Resurrected life starts now, it says. So I'm going to pray, and as you feel led, come on up, and the bread and the juice represents the body of Jesus given for you. The juice represents the blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can live with him. Let's pray. Father God, we ask for you just to move even through this time, this precious time of communion. We remember Jesus. We remember him on the cross. We remember the empty tomb. We remember the raised Lord. And we remember life change. So, Father, to use this time, help us to just share with you our sins, the things we need forgiveness for, and help us to walk out of here new and changed and transformed. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on forward when you're ready.